With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hi, everybody. Let's talk about more eggs.
Yeah.
Because
eggs, baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
It's the 12 eggs of Easter, ladies and gentlemen. Sponsored by Bet365.
We're almost at the end.
Mm. We're in double figures now.
Yeah.
Mm. One of which looks a bit like an egg.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot deny.
An egg and a soldier.
Egg and a soldier.
Yeah.
Today, we've got a goalkeeping egg.
We have.
Fabian Barthez!
Crazy egg as well, by the
way. Absolutely. Nicky Egg, nicknamed the Divine Bald One.
Was he really?
Yes.
Yeah. Love that.
This is the advantage, you see, of bald men, is if they go bald when they're younger, they don't they don't. There's no surprise when later life when no. they've not got much hair.
Yeah. Well, nice. Yeah, bald, kind of, bald is a choice, isn't it?
It can
be. In a lot
be.
Of cases. Well, no, if you make that choice, that's
yeah.
what I mean.
Mm. Yeah. True enough, yeah. Yeah, wonderful. I mean, this is a bald head that we saw get kissed quite regularly by Laurent Blanc.
That's the first thing I put in my notes in preparation. Mm. Head kiss from Laurent Blanc.
Do you know he's the joint record holder for the most clean sheets at a World Cup at World Cup tournament matches?
Who with?
Have a guess.
Jens. No, Oliver Kahn.
Peter Shilton.
Buffon.
Yeah.
Peter Shilton, is it? Okay.
Shilton.
Schultz.
That was a lovely surprise when I saw that.
Yeah, very nice. Good fact.
Yeah, well done, England again. I love the fact that after football, Barthez became a motor racing champion.
Yes. Yes.
A winner.
Motor racing
right.
egg. Imagine yeah. that little egg going around in a car.
Speedy egg.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won France's GT Motorsport Series in 2013.
Quick egg.
Started motor racing in 2008, a year after finishing football.
I like that he's got a plan. Right,
straight
I'm done
in there.
Now. I'm done now. Because he came, I know we'll probably come on to it, but he retired and then he came back for a French club that needed a keeper. Who was it?
Oh,
it
that's
was,
right.
Yeah. Nantes. He came back for Nantes.
Yeah, he never really.
No, he didn't like it.
His career sort of faded out, actually.
It did. Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame considering the highs he achieved.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a brilliant. So. At the height of his. At the heart of his powers, he was
mate.
One of the best keepers.
Oh, he was unreal. And actually, there was a real microcosm of that. And I think perhaps that transition happened at Man United because this whole Barthez the clown thing
yeah.
seemed to follow him around. And he had a little bit of that from being quite flamboyant with France, and which was where we would have known him from at the time. When he started for them, he was absolutely magnificent. He was he was brilliant. He hit the ground running. It was like, oh, brilliant. We've just replaced Schmeichel here. This is great. But then it was almost like he got bored, wasn't it?
Mm.
And he started acting up and doing silly things and making daft decisions.
Sir Alex Ferguson says that at one point he had a child was his wife gave birth, and I think his family was still in France, so he spent a lot of time traveling back and forward.
Right.
Ferguson talks about it in one of his books and says for him it was just a concentration issue. He had issues. Ferguson had doubts about every keeper between Schmeichel and Van der Sar for different reasons. And Barthez's concentration was really one for him, particularly around that time.
Mm.
But the other thing about him, and I agree, he looked spectacular. And the reason he looked spectacular, obviously, because he was quite short. And you see that as a thread with goalkeepers,
right.
because they have to be so agile, they just look more impressive. You know, there's a reason that people remember, like, George Campos and all that kind of, I know his outfits, but he was small, right? So he'd just jump around everywhere. I mean, and Barthez is only 5'11", which is pretty short for a keeper. But he would make some saves. Mm. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
You look at a YouTube compilation of the best Barthez.
Oh, they're mad.
It is unreal. Then, and he's so fast as well. There's a couple when he's still playing back in France, might be when he's at Marseille. Ball comes over, makes a save, pushes it out into the outside of the penalty area. But he does something you don't see keepers do very often, where what they would normally do is they would set themselves, get back in position. He follows the ball out and saves it about 15 yards out. Rather than, because he just backs himself so much. It's incredible to watch.
There's a particularly good save in one of those compilations where he makes a diving save with his foot. It's almost like a volleyed save. And he takes it pretty much off the foot of a striker as well. It's like he could have broken his leg had that gone
like a prototype
badly.
De Gea kind of thing.
Save
with his feet.
But at full stretch sideways dive with his feet. Like, it was like a monkey at times. But it has to be said, he was one for exaggerating a save as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, like every save.
Yeah.
And that was to his credit because it made him so entertaining.
I love that.
He almost was like a South American goalkeeper, really.
Mm. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. When
flirted with long trousers, David flirt with.
I think he might have done.
Well, I can remember him once or twice. He was usually in shorts, but there was the odd occasion. But that kind of flamboyant, over-the-top, over-exuberant South American-style goalkeeper that we love, who are prone to errors as well, he had a bit of that, but there was a few years when he was at the top of his game when he wasn't making those errors where he was sensational. So he had the agility and, as we say, the excitement and the sheer box office quality of a top South American keeper, with the kind of more functionality and the sort of steely kind of determination, or whatever you want to call it, of a European keeper.
Yeah,
he brought those two styles together, which makes him, I think, one of the most interesting and watchable goalkeepers, I think, of our generation.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think he was also almost like a proactive goalkeeper, whereas you think of it as being a reactive role. And I suppose it's more proactive now because they're required to start attacks with the ball at their feet and all that kind of stuff.
Well, he was playing the ball out with his feet long
Absolutely.
Before that was in.
He was very good with his feet.
He was
proactive to the point where you could probably, if he played in goal for your team, it'd probably make you nervous.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't just doing the sort of Edison Neuer thing, was it? It was step overs and nutmegs and sort of showing off and trying to get in people's heads. Because that was something he was good at, trying to get in people's heads. But it backfired for him. Do you remember the Di Canio incident?
Yep. He peels for offside rather than try and save it. Yeah.
Well, it was a real attempt to get into Canio's head, if anyone doesn't remember it. So Canio's threw on goal. Barthez just stops, puts his hand up, basically pretends the referee's blown. Di Canio puts it away because he's a wily operator to understate it.
He sort of tries to save it late on. Yeah. He's not nowhere near quick enough.
But it's his fault that that was a goal, effectively.
He came to United at like a very interesting time for United, because obviously Schmeichel announced that he was going to retire at the end of the he retired after the Champions League win, didn't he?
That's right. He left Manchester United.
That's right. Yeah, left United. Yeah, and so according to Ferguson, he tried to go out and get Van der Sar a lot earlier, but what had happened was there was a miscommunication with Ferguson and the chief executive at United at the time, who had done a deal and shaken hands with Mark Bosnich, and I think it was David Gill, and at the time David Gill said to Ferguson, look, you can't have Van der Sar because I've shaken hands with Mark Bosnich and I'm not going back on that because my word is my bond and I don't work in that way, so we just have to take Bosnich. And Ferguson
and absorb some of the things in his hand.
Yeah, I think that came later.
I'm up for this deal.
and then Ferguson said what he should have done is just bought Van der Sar as well, because he had doubts about Bosnich's professionalism, all that kind of stuff. And there's a brilliant quote in this Ferguson book where he says about Bosnich, he's talented, brilliantly talented, but he would just absolutely take the piss with his professionalism. Mm. And at one point, Ferguson says something like, he would eat anything and everything. He was an absolute disgrace.
Is it fair to say that a lot of problems that Alex Ferguson has with a lot of players of that generation is that he didn't have all of the man? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they
definitely
had outside interests like eating and family.
Well, no. But to the point of, I think one of the reasons why he didn't like Tim Howard, or he was put off Tim Howard, you could say that Tim Howard wasn't like absolute top notch because you Schmeichel, Barthez, Van der Sar, you're talking, was the fact that Tim Howard, who was a Christian, said, God is more important to me than football. And apparently Ferguson didn't like that.
Well, it's
to the nth degree with old Ferguson.
He likes football perverts, doesn't he?
He does.
He likes people whose whole lives are football.
Yeah. I think Gary Neville. He wants Gary Neville over and over.
Well, obviously with Beckham and all that sort of.
Yeah.
He didn't like any of it.
But I would differ slightly to what you guys are saying, just to add that I think he just wants to be convinced that football is the most important thing to them.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I think he thinks that later on in life you can have all these... It's very similar to what Roy Keane said about Jesse Lingard, which I don't necessarily agree with, by the way. I'm just saying it's that kind of thinking.
I do sort of understand to an extent what Ferguson said.
But don't forget, he went through a load of different options before he actually settled on Van der Sar, because they had Taibbi as well, didn't they, for a bit?
Yeah, for a very short one.
With Barthez, though, it really... I mean, obviously, with what we've just discussed, that clearly wasn't the case, but it looked like he was buying a character, wasn't it? It was like, we've had this huge presence in goal, this almost cartoonishly good and vividly interesting character in Schmeichel, and people like it, let's make more of it, effectively. Yeah, let's get another one in.
A big personality in goal, absolutely right. Let's talk about Barthez a little bit more after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Scrambled eggs all over my face.
Welcome back, everybody. The 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. He won the Champions League with Marseille.
Yes.
Fabien Barthez. Yep. I'd like to point out that Marseille did get done for match fixing in Ligue 1 around that time. I would like to carry on talking about that, but sadly, you know. But there we are. They did. Their name is still in the Champions League winners list. Rightly.
You can't game that competition. If you can game your league, you can't really game European competition in many ways.
Scratch the surface of that, right, Peter. Marcus.
Have a look into it, mate.
Hi, mate.
Have a look into it.
But 87 caps for France. Yes. 87 caps, won the World Cup, of course. Played in that France and Algeria World Cup side with the incredible defence that just conceded 2 goals in the entire tournament.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's mad.
That is so good, isn't it?
Have you picked up on the fact that he was a committed smoker?
Yeah, he was.
Committed.
Apparently, Ferguson said there was only 3 players he'd ever managed who smoked. Mm. And Barthez was one. Could you name the other 2?
Veron.
Incorrect.
Paul Ince.
Berbatov.
Paul Ince did smoke.
Berbatov, yeah.
This is up to and including 2001.
Oh, Berbatov, yeah.
According to Ferguson. No, but that's up to and including 2001 when Barthez was there, obviously.
2001, Rooney.
Cantona?
No, Jesper Olsen, apparently.
I wasn't going to guess that.
Other goalkeeper, Les Seeley.
Yeah,
another quote, Re Barthez and Bosnich. Barthez has the same passion for winning as Peter Schmeichel. He is everything Mark Bosnich was not last year, who hasn't integrated into the values of United.
He hates Mark Bosnich,
yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Was that because it sounded like he was foisted upon him a little bit?
Maybe. Yeah. He must probably, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's his way or the highway, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. Sadly for Barthez, though, in England, one of the things he'll be remembered for is making those 2 errors at Highbury against Arsenal.
Yeah.
When Thierry Henry said, thank you very much.
Fellow egg on the list.
Yeah, yeah, indeed,
one of the last eggs you want to be making a mistake around.
Fellow French
well at
egg.
The time.
Yeah. Fellow earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have had Frank LeBeuf in there, of course.
Yeah. Frank the Beef.
Yeah.
It's funny that earth and boeuf are the same, similar.
It's very strange.
Funny how these
foreign language.
At the time, Arsenal and Manchester United obviously had a massive rival. I think it was 1-1 during the game.
Same, we don't know.
And
yeah. But you kind of do now.
Yeah, sort of.
In a very different
way. Not for
way.
The title, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to get that fourth spot.
No, we won't take him back.
Yeah. But that moment where.
I can't remember that.
He cleared the ball. And he just smashed it straight to Henri, who was probably, I don't know, 25 yards out.
Right.
And Henri just took a touch and then just slotted past him. And then Barthez then goes to grab the ball where it's about an 80-20 in Barthez's favour against Henri. He tries to grab the ball. It slips under his body through his arms. And Henri just strokes it.
Henri'd gotten his egg.
Yeah, he had. Scrambled his egg.
Yeah, so and that's the thing. That was such a high-profile mistake. In fact, 2 mistakes in such a huge game.
Yeah. A club like United, that can make it
I think it's sort of sullied his reputation here, really.
Absolutely, it really does, doesn't it? Because, as you say, 2, like, that becomes the story of that goalkeeper's season, really. You know, De Gea making mistakes. We're having it this season. They just stand out. They're very, very memorable.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely that. Barthez was a funny one as well because, you know, obviously we've spoken about how good he was with his feet, but he when he was sort of coming to that later period of his career when he was getting frustrated with being called Barthez the Clown and you know perhaps not being at the peak of his powers, he did say he had a bit of a strop once and said I should have been an outfield player because if you make a mistake as a goalkeeper then you're punished for it forever. And it's interesting that he had that mentality where you know he wouldn't even question the idea that he would have made it as an outfield player. Yeah. And that speaks volumes.
Supremely confident. And based on what we were saying just before the break, would you say that he was maybe quite a prototype for this sweeper keeper kind of thing now? Because we think of like Lloris and Neuer being the next generation who are sweeper keepers who helped sort of mould what goalkeepers are now. But Barthez was a part of that, right?
He
wanted to be involved.
In European terms.
Yeah.
Well, in European terms, because as I say, in South America they were doing that. I mean, René Higuita, well, he was more of a... I mean, he's playing as a flipping number 10 half the time when he was in goal, you know. I mean, but he, you know, he was very much sweeper keeper to the nth degree. So we had seen it in a few forms, but I think for European football fans, maybe Barthez was one of the earlier ones. For my money, I could be wrong there, but perhaps was one of the earlier ones to do that. So yes, I'm sure that had an influence. He did take the piss a bit too much. I mean, as Jim said, you know, there were plenty of examples of him doing step-overs and all this kind of stuff.
He loved a penalty save as well, by the way.
Well, I was just about to mention that. And I mean, save one from Beckham, of course, in 2004, Euro 2004.
Save one from Dimitri Albertini in the quarterfinal of World Cup 98 as
well.
He
did indeed.
He would keep that egg basket safe.
He certainly would.
But he also loved a bit of gamesmanship. You mentioned against West Ham and Decano, it didn't work, but it did work quite brilliantly. Muzzy Izzet took a penalty for Leicester.
Not a player's name I thought I'd hear. He's definitely, I didn't think he would come anywhere Leicester near favorite. This series.
Well, you see, and Muzzy took a penalty for Leicester at Old Trafford, and Muzzy is waiting to take the penalty, but the referee hasn't blown the whistle yet, and Barthez goes and stands and with his back leaning almost against the post, and I think he might start kicking his boots against the post, like to shake the mud off, whatever. He's taking a long time, leaving Izzet stood there, just staring at the goal. And he waits a while, and Muzzy Izzet actually gets fed up and just puts the ball in the back of the net. And of course, the crowd were all, hang on, what's all this? And the referee goes, come on, call it back.
Yeah.
Barthez goes in the goal, and Muzzy Izzet takes a penalty again, puts it in the same spot, and Barthez saves.
I think he did a similar thing to Steve Malbrun.
He did at Fulham.
Yeah.
But the difference with that is he went over to the side of the post, the referee booked him for time wasting, and of course all the Fulham fans, and all this kind of stuff, and then he saved a penalty.
Amazing.
If you're going to do all that, you've got to save it.
So that have been when Izzet was at Birmingham?
No, for Leicester, I think.
Was it at Leicester?
Yeah. Or if it was at Birmingham, forgive me.
Do you remember he had a brother called Kamal, is it? And he was always linked with that. Well, I don't know why you guys remember, but he was linked with Hartlepool quite a lot.
I think Kemal, is it? Might have
he was
played,
at Charlton.
I might have seen him play against Portsmouth. Did he play for Colchester?
He was very loyal.
He played for Colchester for a bit as well. Yeah. I saw...
This is
digression, but I saw him actually do pretty well against Pompey at Fratton Park in a League Cup game back in the day, and I was bloody annoyed.
League Cup games at Fratton Park. I didn't think that would get mentioned on this.
Yeah. Well, we've got a rich history in the cup competitions, Mark, as you well know. You've seen earlier this season.
Yeah, rich being the operative word. Yeah. Lauren Blanc, of course, joined Manchester United a bit later, so the head-kissing ritual returned.
Did they actually do it again? You know,
just for Champions League games, though, apparently.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah. It's great to see them back again. So it was. The last few years of Manchester United, as we touched upon, received quite a bit of criticism. And then he went back to Marseille and it sort of really sort of petered out. He got a massive ban for spitting at a referee during a friendly match against a Moroccan side, which is not nice to see.
Well, fried egg spit.
They do, and it's always...
It's, you know, consistent.
And it's never what you want, Jim, is it?
No.
With a Friday.
Did he not let in a quite soft one against Real Madrid in the Champions League?
Yes, that may have been his last game. Yes,
I think it was, and I think Roy Carroll came in. I think he dropped him, Ferguson, and he never played for them again after that. Was it the near post? Do you remember the incident?
Yes, Ronaldo?
Yeah, it was Ronaldo.
That's right.
And I don't think he played for them again.
Yeah, I think you
I
might
think
be
Ferguson
right
got pissed off about it.
Yeah, if you're Barthez, I mean, Roy Carroll... showed a bit of early promise, but I mean, you're a World Cup winner and all. If you're dropped for Roy Carey,
making the point, isn't it?
You would be a bit pissed off.
Well, I think that was perhaps Barthez's downfall, was that he always wanted to be the centre of attention in 100%. A lot of ways, didn't he?
100%.
And like that kind of tallies up with what he said about wanting to be an outfield player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if there was no focus on him, he would bring focus
on
him.
And the key thing, and I know he's achieved a lot in his career, and you know, bloody hell, he's probably one of the most decorated keepers ever, I expect. I mean, there's not that many keepers out there who've won the Champions League and the World Cup, right?
Yeah. Well, and the Euros.
And the Euros. He'd be up there. But the key thing at the very top level for goalkeepers, as we hear time and time again, is this concentration thing, is that, you know, you have to understand that large parts of games, you're not going to be doing anything. And if your mind's all over the place because you feel, how can I get involved in this? It's going to come back to haunt you, you know? It's going to, like they say about pilots, there are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are no old bold pilots. So it's like there are old keepers and there are bold keepers, but there are no old bold keepers.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
The same sort of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was definitely a part of that kind of aesthetic.
And now he's in motor racing, where he can be old and bold.
Yeah. Mm. Are there any old bold racing drivers? Probably not, though. Probably not.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Yeah.
What was his success like as a racing driver?
Well, good.
He came 12th, I think, in his class what? 2 years ago, as I was reading upon.
I said at the start of the show, he won France's GP Motor Series in 2013.
He's in Le Mans now. Le Mans.
I love
He's got his own racing team that he obviously bankrolled.
I love it when footballers do other sports.
Yeah.
But I think Sylvain Vilthoord was like a handy tennis player and sort of played to a really decent level after he retired.
Diego Forlán, of course. Diego Forlán was going to be a professional tennis player, but he's got a seriously ill sister, I think. And so he thought that being a footballer would be more lucrative for him. Yeah. So he changed to football so he could make more money.
And he was right. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to have the choice.
We'll never know. Maybe he would have been...
And Harry Kane's talking about becoming an NFL kicker, as we talked about. Michael Owen could have been a golfer or snooker player, apparently. Mm-hmm. So it does happen.
Or an anaesthetic.
I mean, snooker and golf would be much more suiting of his personality.
Pete Donaldson's talking about becoming a Greco-Roman wrestler.
Yes. Yeah. What, lightweight or welterweight, something like that, probably?
Yeah, something lithe.
Suitably waspy.
I just like the oils.
Mm. Yes. Uh-huh.
Just lithe should be the category. You don't think about it more than that. Yeah. Like,
I could see you in one of those leotards with the straps that go all the way down to there. Like, yeah, that'd be brilliant.
And poppers on it.
Nothing could constrain my nipples.
No, absolutely right.
And when I first met you, Pete, you were an egg.
Mm. He wasn't.
Yeah, you were an egg. Actually.
It's me and you, Luke. This thing with the egg during our 20s.
I was an egg at university for a bit.
Mm. People assumed I couldn't grow hair, and then they were proved right.
No, you can.
I mean, like
in some places.
His hair?
In some places.
Yeah,
there we go.
It's a state.
But is Pete going to be one of our eggs?
Well, you have to tune in tomorrow
to find out
who our 11th egg will be. But for now, thanks for listening to episode 10 of the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. We'll see you tomorrow for the penultimate one.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.